Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Okay, a little bit anticlimactic, and this will probably sting. First team out, I assume, is?
Should be Notre Dame.
Yep. Notre Dame. I mean, I don't think that's a huge surprise. The Irish, it has to be gut-wrenching for them after being in the field pretty firmly until last week, then sitting on the bubble and then getting bumped. Second team out is BYU. Their only two losses, both to Texas Tech, both decisively. Kalani Sitake has an excellent team, but the committee deems not quite enough to make it into the field. Notre Dame is the team that is on the outside looking in.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
That's how it sounded as the announcement was made. Selection Sunday on ESPN. All the conference championship games are over, and so everyone was waiting with breath that was bated to see who would end up making the college football playoff. 2 hours down, 1 hour to go. I'm Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Here with you on Score Evenings. Want to make sure you know that next Friday, December 19th, join The Score at the world-famous Brat Stop in Kenosha for the return of the Brat Bowl, previewing part two of Chicago versus Green Bay. Raheemy Harrison Grody will be broadcasting live from 10 to 2, followed by Spiegel and Holmes from 2 to 6 that afternoon. They'll be joined by special guests, including Patrick Manley, plus hosts from The Fan in Milwaukee, as the shows gear up for a huge game the next day. That's next Friday, December 19th, from 10 to 6 at the Brat Stop in Kenosha. It's all brought to you by Kenosha Subaru. For all you do, Kenosha Subaru. Now, the college football playoff, and you know, I know there are so many different Big Ten fans, college football fans here, who, and especially Notre Dame fans, who were eagerly waiting and anticipating that announcement. And for those who maybe don't follow it as closely, the way it was playing out, where the college football playoff, ESPN has this Tuesday night selection show that they do throughout the month of November leading into December when the regular season comes to an end. And one thing I mentioned earlier when I had Paul Pabst on the show, we all pay attention to the college basketball, the NCAA hoops tournament selection, kind of a general process, without really paying attention to who's on the NCAA basketball selection committee. How many people are on it? What are their roles within the institutions? How do they even really come up with the teams, the field of 68 that makes the tournament? Everybody just gets really excited to fill out their brackets. And so 68 teams out of the hundreds that play Division I basketball, and you got a bunch of automatic qualifiers, and you know, you got bid stealers who win the conference basketball tournament, even if they weren't the best team throughout the 30-game-ish regular season that hoops teams will play during the regular season. They get into the conference tournament, and some other team might just get hot at the right time in the tournament. They'll steal that bid. They get to make the NCAA tournament for that league, and somebody else who was actually much better throughout the year maybe gets left out. But we don't really pay close attention to who's on that selection committee. It's different in football. College football, you get the 12 data points from that regular season. You play those 12 games. If you're really good, you play in your conference championship game after that. So there's less data points. But as far as the reaction to the consternation that's there and why it feels so critical and so controversial in college football is enhanced by the weekly television show. Because in college basketball, sort of in response to, in reaction to what we've seen from the ratings that the Tuesday night show has gotten, the college football playoff rankings reveal that each week the selection committee puts their top 25 together and it's made public on ESPN and, you know, it's all over the internet. So Tuesdays throughout November and leading into December, we get those on a weekly basis. But what that ends up doing, and we've seen more and more of it, now that there is a 12-team playoff, there's more variables within it. The committee ends up being boxed in to their logic for those rankings each week leading into which of the 12 teams, now this is the second year of the 12-team playoff, who are the 12 teams that end up making the field? So you have the Power Four conferences that all have their conference champion who automatically gets in, and then the highest ranked conference champion from the group of six, the other leagues that end up, you know, having a claim to that, having a team that's ranked in the college football playoff rankings. What ended up happening this year was there was this comparison that played out where you had Alabama, who was at number nine late in the season as a two-loss team throughout the latter stages of the regular season. Alabama was at nine, Notre Dame was at 10, and Miami, who in the first college football playoff rankings that came out, they were down at 18. And then on a weekly basis, as Miami continued to win, continued to blow folks out, Notre Dame, after losing their first two games of the season, they were already in pretty strong position being in the top 10. The reason the top 10 was vital in this particular season was because the ACC was absolutely awful this year, aside from Miami. Miami was a really good team that was ranked fairly highly, you know, at least top 20, in a lot of cases, top 10, even top 5 at certain points early in the year throughout much of the season. And so with that as the case, once the Canes dropped down to 18 after they had their second loss of the year, the thought was maybe Miami's out of it because not only is the ACC bad, but Miami wasn't going to make the ACC championship game because their two losses were to two of the decent teams in the ACC. And they were going to lose the tiebreaker to each of them. So going into the penultimate rankings, one of the things that ESPN's Reese Davis was asking the college football playoff chairperson was whether or not there was a scenario. And this was a little different. Michigan's athletic director, Ward Manuel, was the chairman of the college football playoff selection committee in 2024. And he had some public comments saying that teams who don't play during conference championship weekend, they're not going to flip spots. So there was seemingly a precedent that had been set that we weren't going to see the teams who weren't active having a team be able to leap over another. But when Hunter Yurecek, who's just recently, a few weeks ago, taken over as the chair of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, he said before conference championship weekend that that wasn't necessarily the case, kind of leaving the door open just in case things fell a certain way. And they fell that particular way where Alabama ends up getting blown out. BYU, who was seeming like they had a chance to be in the field in the Big 12, they get blown out as well. What was odd, though, BYU, after getting blown out, they dropped a spot. Alabama got blown out by Georgia. They stayed put. They were number nine going in. They were number nine coming out. And beyond that, Notre Dame and Miami flipped spots, which I just found really odd. There's not a good explanation for that. If you want to tell me there's a case for, even though Miami beat Notre Dame head-to-head, if you want to tell me Notre Dame has just been more dominant throughout the remainder of the season, we think they're a better football team by now, then I at least can hear that argument. But how do both Miami and Notre Dame sit at home conference championship weekend neither one of them plays a game. Their common opponents don't necessarily impact their resume that much for any real difference. And yet Miami somehow leaps Notre Dame, knocking the Irish out of the field. And because the ACC is so bad, the ACC champion doesn't actually end up making the college football playoff field because they're just not ranked high enough or regarded well enough. So Miami leaping into the top 10 with two group of six teams making the field because they base it off of the conference champions and the highest ranked in that regard. So you basically had to get into the top 10 to make the field with those other two spots being claimed by teams from outside of the power conference structure. Miami goes to 10. Notre Dame slips down to 11. And Irish heads were going to explode. Now, Alabama, to me, is the team that should have been left out of this mix. The SEC has been one of the strongest leagues in college football for this entire century, probably the strongest league in college football for the majority of this century. In recent years, though, that hasn't been the case. The last couple of seasons, the Big Ten has won the last two national championships. Michigan 2 years ago, Ohio State last year. The Big Ten has the top two teams in the country this year in Indiana and Ohio State. And what a story the Hoosiers have been, now the number one team in the country after beating the Ohio State Buckeyes in the Big Ten championship game on Saturday night. I mean, Georgia could win the national championship. Ole Miss could maybe. Texas A&M was one of the top three teams in the country the majority of the year. The SEC has teams who could win it all because there's not that one dynastic sort of program this season that's head and shoulders above everyone else. But we are not in a stretch of Southeastern Conference dominance right now. But it felt like the committee ended up shoehorning Alabama into the mix and putting that fifth SEC team in when really both Miami and Notre Dame deserve to get in over Alabama. Now, some of the metrics ended up suiting the tide, their strength of schedule, their strength of record. Those are things that people point to in saying that Alabama was obviously a better team and deserved to get in over them. But it's kind of like war in baseball, wins above replacement. It sounds like something that's this definitive statistical analysis, but it's really subjective in some ways, just like strength of schedule and strength of record is subjective. Because when you're factoring those things in, a big piece of that data is just how folks perceive the teams you're playing against. And the propaganda that comes out of the southeastern part of the country is so strong, and people make such a great case, such a strong case for how amazing those games are on a weekly basis. Oh, we played on the road at Tennessee. Wow, Arkansas is a really difficult place to play. And by the end of it, they act like every game that's played there is this heavyweight championship bout, and it steers the conversation. So the SEC teams don't tend to fall in the rankings in the same way that teams from other leagues do. So yes, Alabama's strength of schedule and strength of record were both very strong. They did legitimately have one of the best wins of the season going on the road and beating Georgia in the regular season in a close game. And then Georgia boat raced them in the SEC championship game on Saturday. So Alabama's a very good team who, in my opinion, did not deserve to make the college football playoff this year because I don't think they were better than either Miami or Notre Dame, and I don't believe they had a better season than either Miami or Notre Dame. I'm of the opinion there will be changes, there will be adjustments that end up coming, not only the expansion of the college football playoff, which I don't love, but that's likely coming, but how the Irish are perceived. It's worth pointing out, this is not the first time that Notre Dame, who ended up deciding they weren't going to play in a bowl game this year, and none of these things are ever unanimous. I don't know what conversation Pete Bavacqua or Marcus Freeman or what they had with the players, but you would imagine they spoke to the players about these things before Notre Dame announced their decision. Some players probably did want to play in a bowl. Apparently many of them didn't. But skipping a bowl, this is not the first time Notre Dame has done this. I remember being a kid reading in the Chicago Sun-Times about, you know, Lou Holtz-led Notre Dame squad choosing not to play in a bowl game because it was some bowl that the Irish viewed as beneath them back in the day, decades ago. It's not the first time Notre Dame has opted out of playing in a bowl game. It's a very public version of that, though, because this was another excellent Notre Dame team that was certainly of the caliber that would have been in that national championship conversation. They could have made this tournament and won the whole thing. Within that disappointment, they decided that they weren't going to play in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. And as an independent, one of the risks that Notre Dame runs is either they make the college football playoff or they essentially get boxed out of all the major bowl games beyond that because they don't have any conference tie-in with any of these bowls. So if they were in the Big Ten or the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC, then you know, they would have some sort of conference agreements in place where they could likely still have a good shot to make one of these other major bowls. But they didn't because they're independent. So they decided to go home. I don't have a big issue with it. We've seen them do it before as a program, as an athletic department. But whatever players did hope to play another game, did want to play, I feel bad for them. I'm sure there's some disappointment in that regard, but Notre Dame's going to continue to play good football and be right back there in the national championship conversation next season. But there's been really loud and visceral reactions on each side of that part of the conversation. But we're going to see the college football playoff continue to adjust here moving forward. I don't know, Studs, if you're you're prone to strong opinions about these things, how you see Notre Dame, their reaction to it. Are they being petulant or spoiled in some way? Or do you kind of get where the Irish are coming from with that?
I don't really have a huge problem with them skipping out on a bowl game after being left out, because I'm with you. I think they deserved to be in the playoff. And after they were misled, essentially, for however long, over a month, and just to have the rug kind of pulled out from under them, where I understand that why they would be confused and upset. Yeah, hey, you said for all this time that we are ranked ahead of Miami. What changed when neither team played this past weekend? So, and then to be expecting really that your players, your coaches, you're expecting to get ready to play playoff games that are meaningful and potentially go to another national championship, and then to not all of a sudden have that opportunity. I mean, I could understand. I mean, how many guys are going to really play in that game? You know, like Jeremiah Love isn't going to play in the Pop-Tart Bowl, you know? And so, right. and are you really going to play some of the, you know, how many guys really want to play? So I understand. I know Notre Dame brings a lot of strong opinions. So I do understand why people are looking at Notre Dame not accepting a bowl bid and saying it's sour grapes. And look, I think they do have a little bit of a point, but I understand Notre Dame saying, listen, we don't want to play in this BS bowl. Like, you know, we want to play for a national championship. This bowl game doesn't mean anything. We don't need the money. We don't need the national exposure. We're Notre Dame. We don't need to deal with this. You know, so we're just going to stay home and focus on next season after we bash the ACC for bashing us.
Yeah, the BS Bowl. That would be quite a sponsor for one of these bowls if they decided to go down that road. Who knows?
And I am maybe a big fan of the Pop-Tart Bowl, for the record.
Okay. I mean, they have fun with it, right?
Yeah.
You get the big Pop-Tart mascot.
I think they have the appropriate level of knowing that it is kind of a joke that they're sponsoring this bowl, and they really play into it, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they're in on the bit, they lean into it and they have fun with it, it's hard to get mad at that. But Notre Dame deciding not to sully their golden dome with the Pop-Tarts Bowl, so they'll be back at it next season. Who knows? Maybe they will or will not still be part of the ACC and their 24 other sports when that happens. Well, I promise some baseball chatters. The winter meetings are going on, and we know who is all over the news in MLB. It is our guy, Bruce Levine. We'll hear from what's happening on each side of town and the news that is developing. Some big news on the South Side. We'll get into that next on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
It's a significant event for us, and it can't be understated how important it is. You know, we've been, you know, hard at work at bringing talent into the organization in different ways, and obviously the amateur draft is an obvious avenue, and now to be able to get a chance at, you know, the top talent in the draft is really exciting and just gives us a greater boost. I last year, you know, as players were joining our major league club and performing the way that they did, you know, you began to see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, and now it's just shining a little bit brighter.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
The voice of Chris Getz. After the Chicago White Sox won the lottery. Been a lot of lotto conversation here as of late between the Powerball and the Mega Millions, and it feels to me like, I don't know, a couple times a month, there's some new billionaire being crowned from winning the lottery. I don't know if there's going to be any new billionaires coming out of the South Side with the White Sox, but they did win. And this is kind of a newer thing in recent years with the MLB having a draft lottery. White Sox won the lottery. They will have the number one overall pick in the next Major League Baseball draft. And so it's a big opportunity for the Sox. And the player that many anticipate to be the likely number one overall selection is a player I've actually watched pretty closely. Feels pretty similar to me because I watched Matt Shaw's career playing Big Ten baseball at Maryland, and Rock Chalowski is a shortstop for UCLA who's anticipated to be the number one draft prospect that the White Sox would likely select. And Chalowski is a player who I comp him a little bit just in style with Matt Shaw as well, because there's an athleticism that both played the infield with at the collegiate level. And when you play Big Ten baseball, you got to be accustomed to playing in some chilly climates. So if it ends up being Rock Chalowski, he will be accustomed to that. He was the Big Ten Player of the Year last season. I've had the opportunity to interview him and covered him last season as a Big Ten baseball player. So we will see if I will get a chance to cover him as a Chicago baseball player as well. So we'll start off with that part of the conversation going out to the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. My guy Bruce Levine, download the Circus Sports app today out at the winter meetings. And I don't normally start with the Southsiders, Bruce, but big news for the Sox getting the number one overall pick. How's it going for you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's great being on with you. And, you know, when you talk about the player from UCLA, hopefully he's more Bobby Witt than he is Matt Shaw. that's what they're hoping with the number one pick overall, which is something they've only had twice in their franchise history. Now, the draft, Anthony is 60 years old this year, started in 1965, and they've only had the 1-1 overall pick twice. In 1971, they took Danny Goodwin, who was a catcher out of Peoria. And in 1977, Harold Baines was the 1-1 overall. And we all know how that Hall of Fame career worked out. So all in all, this is a big win for the White Sox, who certainly needed some good news. It's probably the first real good news for the White Sox since they started to stumble in 2022, right?
No doubt. And to be able to accept this good news and grab a hold of it is certainly something I hope Sox fans will be able to do for whoever it ends up being. Rock Chalowski is the anticipated prospect there. But for where the Sox are at as an organization right now, the development arc for a young player, are they situated in much better of a position right now to truly kind of nurture and develop the talents of a young infielder?
Yeah, oh, I think so. I mean, the infrastructure is improving all the time. And, you know, since Getz took over a few years ago, he's brought in so many really young, vital guys from other organizations to help him lead. And the one thing, you know, I've learned about Chris Getz as a leader is that he's inclusive of all his people. There's not – he might have the title of general manager, but it might as well just be, you know, the leader of the organization and the main teammate, you know, that everybody follows right now. That's how this young group of executives that he's hired along the way look at their jobs and look at the roles that they have to try to be a great organization. They all feel like they're on the ground floor. They all have that one purpose, is, you know, it's a little bit overused, to try to win. Because everybody's trying to do that. But, you know, I think the White Sox fans eventually will see a top flight organization with the top flight players. I can't tell you the date or the year, but I think it's coming along. And, you know, once they you can't do it all, as you know, Anthony, you can't do it all by just developing in your system. You have to make trades. You have to go into the international markets. You have to go for free agents. And right now, they really don't have the money to go after free agents. So it's mostly trades and developing your own players right now.
So with Justin Ishbia, how, in what ways does the future owner of the Sox impact how the Sox attack things with their – just with their finances, whether that impacts infrastructure, free agent deals?
It's a great question. Well, he's already bought in. I think he's bought in probably about 20%. So the money that he bought in might be 30% that he's already bought in. That's not the deal at the end of the line. He has a chance to buy the whole thing by 2034 if Jerry hasn't decided to sell it to him before that. That's all in stone as far as the deal goes. Excuse me, but I think he's into the tune of $500 or $600 million that he's already helped the organization with as far as buying in to help them, you know, have more money to operate with. You know, they lost their entire TV deal. You know, the Bulls, Hawks, and White Sox. They started a new station. They're just starting to get their legs there. You know, they got a terrific guy running that now by the name of Mike McCarthy. And, you know, they're starting to make some headway, but they started from scratch. And That's a excuse me. That's a really difficult way to go as far as making money on television.
Yeah,
excuse me. You know, but I will tell you this. I think that money will help them start to have the better infrastructure with their team, with their farm system, and be able to help them grow a little bit.
That's certainly the hope for Sox fans as you kind of look towards the future here with this ball club. And we've seen how much it can mean when the team on the north side has a new ownership group come in and begin to invest in some of that infrastructure that's there and rebuilding Wrigleyville and everything that's been done. But transitioning to the Cubs part of the conversation with this offseason, how would you compare, Bruce, the position the Cubs are in right now versus where they were last offseason, where at least we're coming off a year where there was real evidence the team makes the postseason and has a chance to continue advancing. So it feels like, all right, near miss competitively, but now the roster is going to be shaped a bit differently. So how do you compare and contrast where they are now versus last offseason?
Well, you know, if you look at the last 2 years, Anthony, the development of players like Pete Crow Armstrong at center, Michael Bush at first, Matt Shaw at third, Miguel Amaya behind the plate, a few young pitchers, certainly Cade Horton is one of them that, you know, obviously popped through last year and is one of the top young pitchers in the National League. Excuse me for this cough. Just started to come on, so yeah. I apologize for that.
Yeah.
But I think the young players that are going for the Cubs right now make it easier for them to be more pointed about how they use their free agent money. And this year they're going to be using it mostly for pitching. They've already gotten a top reliever in Phil Maton for their bullpen. They probably need three more in the bullpen and a starting pitcher. And we don't know, you know, talking to Scott Boras today, he's got two of the top pitchers in Zach Gallen, a veteran, and then Imai, the Japanese pitcher, who is coming over, and he's the latest craze as far as top Japanese pitchers coming in. And the Cubs are interested in both. So are they going to sign both? No, they won't. But there's a possibility they'll sign one of those guys, Gallen, a veteran pitcher who is a one or two starter for any team that picks him up, is certainly out there, and that's a viable situation for them. There's other pitching that they'll be looking at out there, possibly if they don't do it via the free agent market, they'll do it through the trade market. You know, they've been talking to the Miami Marlins about two of their pitchers for the last few years. And, you know, they like Cabrera, who's a right-handed power pitcher. And with Washington, Mackenzie Gore, somebody that they tried to trade for at the trade deadline last year, that didn't work out. He's probably still available. So, excuse me, you know, you look at this, you look at their pitching, that's where they're going to go right now. Position player-wise, can you replace Kyle Tucker? I don't think they're going to be able to. But they have Owen Casey. They have Moises Ballesteros, who's a quality left-handed hitter. Doesn't play the outfield, but can DH or catch. So with those moves in mind, I'd say that the major moves that we're going to watch the Cubs make here over the next couple of weeks and couple of months will be starting pitching and bullpen pitching.
Bruce Levine, our guest here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You, of course, hear him here at The Score and all over the Marquee Sports Network. He's joining me on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. You can find Bruce on social media at MLB Bruce Levine. Last one, Bruce, before I let you run. There are a couple of names that Chicago baseball fans are familiar with, like Dylan Cease and Kyle Schwarber, as they look to maybe bolster the pitching staff, bolster the power in the lineup. Did the Cubs make a serious run at either of those guys?
Well, they finished somewhere between second and seventh on Dylan Cease. They did have a multi-year offer in on him. Wasn't quite the $210 million deal that he got. I think when the Cubs saw it going into the $200 million area, they backed out. you know, Cease was originally a Chicago Cub in their minor league system before he was traded with Eloy Jimenez for Jose Quintana in 2017. And they wanted to get him back. I mean, he's got a great power arm, always has top strikeouts in the league, you know, up in the top three or four strikeout pitchers. He hasn't missed a start since 2018. So he's been tremendously durable. And age 30, they were very interested, but just didn't quite work out because Toronto stepped on the gas and passed everybody up and signed him to that seven-year deal. As far as Schwarber goes, I don't think they were in on that. TH is probably not where they wanted to go. I mean, they love Schwarber, even though they released him 5 years ago, giving him his release. It was non-tendered because they didn't want to pay him $4.5 million that year. Sounds crazy now, right? Watching him sign a $150 million deal for the next 5 years with the Phillies. But I think he was always going back to Philadelphia. The owner there was not going to let him go. He's that popular, coming off of, you know, his greatest season, you know, 56 home runs, just an unbelievable year. So I don't think he was in the Cubs' wheelhouse to get him, but nonetheless, we know he's always going to be there in history, and hopefully he'll be back for the 10-year anniversary at the Cub convention here next month.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fun. I'll sneak one more in on you, Bruce. If you had to guess, do you feel like the top of the rotation starter is currently on the Cubs roster, or is that someone they're going to acquire between now and the season?
Well, I think they have visions of Cade Horton being the number one. Now, if you bring in a Zach Gallen or you bring in a Ranger Suarez or, you know, you bring in a Sandy Alcantara from Miami, they can be the number one. But Horton's going to be right there with them. It'll be 1 or 1A. They believe Horton, even though he threw a minimal amount of innings last year, was so dominant in the last 2 months that he's their ace going in. So we'll see. I mean, as you know, Anthony, baseball, and in particular pitching, it's not always linear as far as progress goes. But nonetheless, they have quite a find here in Cade Horton.
Yeah, they really do. They really do. And when you get a healthy Justin Steele, hopefully back on the mound at full strength at some point, could really be cooking with gas by then. So looking forward to seeing how that all plays out.
Yeah, I hope you will be. Before you let me go, they did update us on Steele today, and they said he's definitely not going to be ready the first part of opening season. But Craig Counsell said that they expect him back in the first couple, 2-3 months of the season, no later than that. So he's doing well. He's already throwing. We'll see how he comes back. But they're not counting on him for opening day this year.
Well, we appreciate that update as well. Make sure all of you out there follow him at MLB Bruce Levine with the latest on baseball on both sides of town. Thanks a lot, Bruce.
Thanks, Anthony. You have a great night.
You too, my friend. I appreciate Bruce powering through that thing, man. That's not always easy. I've certainly been victim to that as well. Your throat just suddenly doesn't want to work for you when you're in the middle of an interview. But my thanks to Bruce for powering through that, giving us the latest and greatest from the MLB winter meetings. I was talking about some good news for the Southsiders there with Rock Chalowski. And I mentioned that comp with Matt Shaw, and everyone would be hopeful that number one overall pick, if they end up going with Rock Chalowski, yeah, everybody would like him to be even better than Matt Shaw. And hopefully that'll be the case. he's a really exciting athlete with a power bat and really had big hits and big moments for UCLA. And one of the things with Rochelowski and some of the studs on that UCLA program, their baseball team, you know, the Big Ten is not a college baseball powerhouse as a conference. And UCLA as a baseball program, they've kind of been going through the entire athletic department, frankly, with the Bruins, has gone through some financial issues in recent years here. But Rochelowski was the leader of a group of underclassmen baseball players who, from their freshman season to their sophomore year, who could have transferred to a wide variety of other baseball programs, been really well regarded, made big money in name, image, and likeness. But he showed a degree of loyalty to UCLA and patience with that program. And they accomplished some big things this last college baseball season. So I think he's the type of personality that White Sox fans, if the White Sox end up drafting him number one overall, I think he'll ingratiate himself with this city really quickly. He's just seems like a really cool individual with the way he's handled himself as a young man. One of the things that excited me that may surprise you, I want to make sure I point it out before I get out of here tonight, about that Bears defense that absolutely got gashed by the Packers in the game, but there was a glimmer of hope that I saw. I'm going to tell you exactly what that was next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Score Evenings, weeknights 6 till 9.
The way it plays out in the standings right now, even though the Bears have a better record than some of these other squads, they dropped to 7. Three teams legitimately have a better record than the Bears in the NFC right now. One of the teams ahead of them has the same record, of course, because Green Bay has gotten that victory over them. Two teams ahead have worse records. But that being said, still looking for glimmers of hope. And I do believe, even though the defense didn't perform well the other day, One of the things I'm very much encouraged by is Grady Jarrett looking healthy. Now, I was talking about the size of Kyle Manungai as a running back earlier. We had a caller asking about whether or not Manungai can hold up at his size, his stature. Now, Grady Jarrett, at 32 years old, he's never been an overwhelming force because of his size playing defensive tackle in the National Football League. But his leverage he plays with, his suddenness that he plays with, the pad level and hand placement, being a technician on the inside, the way he can get into and off of blockers to penetrate into the backfield. But there's an explosiveness in his movement skills that was missing earlier in the year. He got that time off the field, got whatever cleaned up in his knee needed to get cleaned up. Grady Jarrett is looking healthier. Now, it didn't stop Josh Jacobs from running through the Bears defense on occasion the other day. So I'm not here to tell you the Bears are going to have the stingiest run defense in football. But looking for glimmers of hope, I really like this version of Grady Jarrett that we've gotten in recent weeks. He looks healthy. He's moving well. He's anchoring much better against blockers in the run game. Now, I told you about my concerns for Austin Booker as Dayo Odengbo left the lineup with an injury being out for the season. We've seen Austin Booker as a starter, and the pass rush was there. The skills to turn the corner were there early. I'll say this, Austin Booker, he hasn't been as effective turning the corner as a pass rusher here recently, but part of that is because he's playing more physically into blockers in the run game. There's only so much of that that Austin Booker is just physically capable of at this point in his development, but I'm seeing a guy who's focused on pad level and hand placement, a flat back coming out of his stance, and one little wrinkle that they've utilized is getting some more movement going, especially with Austin Booker on rundowns. And even when they're not looping him around or twisting him on some rundowns just so he doesn't have to try and wrestle with big offensive linemen, snap in and snap out, when he gets into blockers, Austin Booker is getting rid of that blocker more quickly. He's not necessarily trying to win a power matchup against an offensive tackle or an offensive tackle and a tight end. Once he gets into them with force, he's getting rid of the blocker more quickly and trying to get across the line of scrimmage. So we're seeing some positive signs there. I'm seeing some positive signs up front on the D-line. It has to continue to grow for the Bears to really have a shot at climbing back up the standings in the NFC. I'll continue to tell you how I'm evaluating that. I'll be on the post show coming up this Sunday after the Bears game ends. You'll see me on Fox 32. I'll be there in Bears Blitz on Friday. I'll be back there for Bears Game Day Live on Sunday morning. My thanks to everyone who joined me on the air tonight. Paul Papps of the Dan Patrick Show, Lindsey Rhodes of Sumer Sports, and Bruce Levine of Odyssey and the Marquee Sports Network. Thanks to my guy Studs, Adam Studzinski as well. And as always, appreciations and salutations to all of you for listening in to the all-powerful Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.